I often hear from people who want to know, you know, how they can move objects with their mind, and you certainly can do it, and I have done it here. The thing is, we have fingers and hands and arms, and it's so much simpler if we want to move a pencil or bend a spoon that we just use our fingers and do it. We have the means to manipulate our physical world very easily with tools that we have on our body, and often it's a waste of energy to utilize our brain for tricks and parlor games and for boosting our ego because we can do something special with our mind. And so I encourage people, when they learn how to click the amygdala forward, and when these powers spontaneously begin to happen, don't get sucked in by it. Just let those things happen when you need them to happen. My own experience has been that the telepathy and the telekinesis happens when you really need it, and that you don't need to pursue it.
Buck from Montana on the line.
And often that's the most amazing thing, when you see these paranormal things happen on their own. It's as if there's a higher part of your brain, and I believe there is a higher, more advanced part of your brain that takes care of these things in such a manner when the lower part of your brain has neglected to take care of something.
Neil, we have a caller
on
the line. Buck from Montana is on the phone. Hello, Buck.
Hi, Jeff.
Good to hear your voice.
Another wonderful guest.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I have to set the scene. A movie was on the satellite tonight on Clarence Thomas's trial, and I was watching. I was trying to keep up with that because marvelous drama, marvelous coverage of it, while listening to you. And when we went into the exercise of using the feather, I just had to turn that other thing off, and I was standing in the room. And within, I don't know, 10 seconds or so, I was laughing so damn hard I couldn't keep a straight face at all. It just, and it persisted for a couple of minutes.
That's amazing.
I would think that's almost typical.
I get a full range of reactions from people, and it's astounding to me the reactions that I get from people. I, in particular, I was a very slow learner. I started going to the Brain Lab in 1982, and it wasn't until, I believe it was 1987, that I had one of these big frontal lobes pops. We call it a big bang. It's like the frontal lobes transcendence. And I was very, you know, very skeptical, and I was very like, oh, come on, this is just crazy, and, you know, this doesn't make sense. So I'm one of these people who comes on to something very slowly, and it sounds like you had a real instant, quick reaction that you'll be able to build on rather quickly.
I think that whole Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill affair is an example of what happens when so many people are clicked backwards.
Yes.
I seriously doubt if people knew more about how the mind works, that episode would have ever happened.
Yes. All you have to do is look in the paper, and you can say, oh, here's a reptilian brain process. Here's somebody clicked into the reptile brain. And this is one of the exercises that I have been, you know, in the books that I've written, I'm always trying to come up with different ways that people can grasp what this amygdala connection is in the brain and how the frontal lobes differ from the reptile brain. And you can just turn on the TV, or you can look through the paper and say, that person's in the reptile brain, that person's in the... here's a person that's got their amygdala clicked forward into their frontal lobes. And you can spot it because the people having the negative experiences are demonstrating reptilian behavior, and the people having positive experiences are clicked forward into the frontal lobes Cecil processes. Another thing, too, about laughter, now this is something that was recently discovered it was either Yale or Harvard. They discovered that laughter and humor is actually a frontal lobes process. And I suspected this myself from my own observations, but they actually did brain scans of people and discovered that humorous activities is occurring in the frontal lobes. So when you clicked your amygdala forward, you turned on that laugh center right in your frontal lobes, and you started laughing. So proof positive.
You know, that's why dynamic purposeful play, real exuberant, outrageous playfulness, is one of the most powerful ways to reorient a person.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You use the metaphor of a gear shift?
I use lots of metaphors. That's one of them.
The thought I had when you said gear shift, no, it's not a gear shift, it's a joystick.
That's great. Very good, and I will remember and use that.
Well,
very good.
I got to give that credit to Norm Shealy.
Ah.
10 or 12 years ago, Norman spent a couple hours with me privately explaining the reticular activating formation.
Yes. Well, joystick, that's very good.
And, well, you know, I think that's pretty close representation, or in the technical world, the physical representation of the reticular activating system might be our computer browser.
I don't know. That really is just a fairly simple mechanism within the brain, and it reacts one way when we're sleeping, and it's clicked another way when we're awake. So, you know, that's really responsible for, that's sort of like a basic on-off consciousness switch there, as far as what I know about it.
He and a couple of other people explained to me that the reticular activating system, and the word reticular comes from reticulate, to bring around again.
Yes. Right. While we're asleep and the switch flips on, then it brings us back to waking consciousness. Whereas when it's clicked off, then we're back in the dream world and our senses are shut off and we are only exploring internally within our mind and brain. So that could be the connection there.
On the heart-mind-brain connection and the work of heart math, I spent a week there with Doc Childre and the group on talking about these things, and it seems to me that if we take these things metaphorically, they work. If, you know, whether it's coming from the heart, well, we know it's a pump, but if we look at the heart metaphorically and these different parts of our mind metaphorically, they seem to all work together better for me than rather than saying it's, you know, this particular geographical part of the mind and the anatomy.
Well, we're coming up
working on the holographic principle.
We're coming up on our break now. Buck, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
A wonderful guest. Thank you.
Thank you.
And when we return from this break, we will conclude tonight's program on activating the brain's full potential. Welcome back to the final segment of my two-hour interview with Neil Slade on activating your brain's potential. Neil, you know, what we haven't talked about is the fact that you are a musician, and for you, I know there's an important component of working with music to activate the brain.
I think this ties in a couple of ways. One, there's been a lot of talk and discussion about how music changes the way the brain works, and for a very long time, people said that, for example, listening to Mozart would make you learn faster, and then, of course, somebody came back and said, well, this isn't true, but I think the general consensus is that any kind of music, or music in general, has a dramatic effect on how the brain works, and for me, it was always a pleasure connection. I found that when I was playing music, I just felt really good. And the composition and playing of music is a activity that requires one to use more advanced parts of their brain. I was always looking for ways of becoming a better musician and a more creative musician. So that's what led into my study of the brain. Lingo was a musician. He, in fact, made a lot of the money that he first established his brain laboratory from a brief career in show business, playing music. We know that Einstein loved to play the violin. So I think there's this balance, this nonverbal musical activity helps one to utilize their brain better and to keep their brain balanced. So that's what it's been for me. And career-wise, it's always, for me, it's always been geared towards composer and recording musician. So consequently, I've got 25 years of recorded music that people listen to and buy, along with all the books I've written on brain and so on. They have found that very useful to them.
And,
in their own study.
And, of course, people can learn about that by logging on to the mishlove.com website and linking to yours.
Yes.
From there, Neil, we have a caller on the line, Liz from Berkeley, who sent us some email earlier.
Hi, Liz.
Hi, Neil. Ever since I read your book, The Frontal Supercharge.
Frontal
Lobe Supercharge,
yes.
I've been doing some more reading about the amygdala.
Yes.
And I found something, I think, that you might, you probably know about this, or but maybe not, you might be really interested. Recent research has demonstrated that in animals, there's a specific acupoint, and when that one is electrically stimulated, will cause a change in the firing rate of actual neurons in the amygdala.
Now, what kind of point was that?
Well, it's actually, it's Heart 7.
Oh, you're talking
an acupressure point. It's called Heart 7, and
yes,
it produces increases in the P300 wave,
mm-hmm,
which is a late-evoked EEG potential, associated with cognitive activities. So I thought that might be another way to stimulate the amygdala. Clicking forward is to stimulate that acupoint.
Yes, there are many, many ways to stimulate the amygdala. The simplest physical one that I know of is through your nose, through the olfactory nerves. The amygdala is one of the oldest structures in the brain. And so it is, even in humans, they say that they call the frontal lobes the nose brain, because it's an extension of these olfactory nerves and the amygdala connection. So one real easy way to demonstrate that your amygdala is actually working and what it does is to go stick your head in a really smelly, rotten garbage can and take a good whiff. Now, when you do that, your amygdala will instantly click backwards.
Ah.
Okay? It will instantly give you negative emotion and negative sensations within the brain, and that's because of the olfactory direct connection to the amygdala. Now, if you want to know what it feels like to click your amygdala forward, go smell your favorite food or your favorite perfume, something that smells really nice to you, and then you will feel waves of pleasure in the brain, and that's the amygdala clicking forward.
I've had that experience tremendously with picking an armload full of my favorite flower and driving down the coast highway, and I noticed that the colors intensified and the contrast came up and the music sounded great, like I was in a symphony hall, and I was just one with the road, feeling every turn. And
Yeah,
just a fabulous sensation. I didn't know what it was, and then reading your book, I found out about that.
Yes, I think you sent me some email and told me about
that.
That's
right.
So there are all these external ways of stimulating the amygdala. I mean, you know, the acupuncture points. You can watch a funny film. See, because once you watch something funny and humorous, that will click the amygdala forward into the frontal lobes. You know, there are hundreds of ways of clicking forward. However, it's really very important to know how to click it forward without any external stimulation. That's because you will, if you are in this world, you will find yourself in a situation that is negative, that where you are clicked into your reptile brain. It might be you find yourself stuck in a long line at the bank. You might find yourself getting in an argument with someone. You might find yourself in a traffic jam. And at that point, when you're having this negative experience, you need to have instant gear shift control of your amygdala so you can click out of reptile brain, self-defense, counterattack, and into frontal lobes, creativity, intelligence, imagination, logic, intuition. And that's when you tickle your amygdala using the feather click. or some other internal stimulation that you've learned. So that's why it's really important not to be dependent on external stimulation and to know the method for effortless internal instant stimulation.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That was a wonderful story about the flowers. It, you know, that reminds me of something, too. And this is a report for many people as well as my own experience. Now, I have had many years ago some experiences with the psychedelics and hallucinogens and knowing what a euphoric experience that potentially can be, where colors are bright and music sounds heavenly and worldly. You can internally cause the same psychedelic euphoric activity by mere brain self-control. The chemicals that you are producing right now in your brain are 100 times more potent than any pill or morphine or heroin or crack or any of these various types of drugs that one can take. You can create a more pure and even more intense experience with just brain self-control and clicking the amygdala forward. And I know this just from all the reports I get from people constantly who are doing that.
Is there any kind of a place where people who are working on this can communicate with each other? Do you have something on your website for that?
There is a bulletin board. There's a thing called Brain Explorers. If you go to the bottom of my main index page at neil.slade.net, sign up for the Brain Explorers group, and from there you'll get instructions on. We have a private bulletin board and chat page. And I'll be doing a online chat tomorrow evening. And if you sign up for Brain Explorers tonight, I'll send the email out, and you can do chat, and you'll also get the bulletin board address. So yeah, people are all the Brain Explorers that are. Know about this on the web are all communicating with each other and giving feedback to each other.
Oh, fabulous.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Nice talking with you.
Good to hear your voice, Liz.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a wonderful program this has been, Neil. The 2 hours have been very, very pleasurable indeed. And I hope that we can have you back again on Virtual You, because I'm sure we're just starting to tickle the surface of what's possible here.
Yes, this has been really an honor for me too. I've watched you for many years on public television, and this has really been an honor and a pleasure for me as well. So thank you for inviting me, and I would be delighted to come back another time.
Thanks, and good night, Neil.
Good night.